I am Bamps, and I am your storyteller, and I am joined by my wonderful cast.
I'm Jupiter, and I play Missy, the forever teen misunderstood emo Malkavian.
Hi, I'm Oz. I play Arthur Subchak, the Nosferatu.
I'm Tom, and I play Jimmy, the best Toreador from the 80s.
And hi, I'm Super Cookie. I am playing Coco.
Our scene opens up with a bright light, something that has not truly been seen in our tale so far. It is the bright light of the sun, and as we come down from that, we are on a grassy hill in the middle of a copse of trees, with a handful of silhouettes and shapes just kind of milling about. The same little clearing that we just left Missy in, where she was talking to herself, in a way. Just as she was beginning to seeing the faint outline of Raven that she recognized. Not filled in, not in color, but same kind of boots, same kind of hairstyle, you know, general height, general appearance that leads her to believe that that is who this image represents. So then I ask Missy, what are you gonna do?
Well, upon seeing that shadowy figure and starting to recognize parts of it as Raven, Missy will wander over to where that shadowy shape is to see if she can interact with it.
It moves and has the same body language as Raven would, but makes no attempt at speaking. Nothing audible can be heard from it. Mm-hmm. But its weight shifts. It gives a little wave as though it would recognize you, but nothing audible. Not even when its weight shifts, you don't hear the crunch of grass or anything like that.
I think slowly Missy will extend her hand out and try to touch the shadowy figure.
As if to see it's real, or is like a mm-hmm. handshake kind of?
No, just to poke.
So it will, flinch is the wrong word, but it will let you poke at it, and when you push, it responds as though you were pushing on a person. Like there's, it feels like there's give, and it shifts a little bit, but nothing that. But it continues to make no sound.
Of the people I can see fully formed, mm-hmm. are any of them nearby?
You are nearby.
I'll ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Who are these people?
Indicating specifically Raven, I imagine.
Yes, like gesturing to the shadow. Who are these people?
You know who that is. Well, I guess I know who that is. That's Raven. You know that. You hang out with her all the time.
And Missy will kind of just, I don't know, in a almost absurd comedic way, will like touch herself to see she's solid, and while looking at herself, I'm solid, yeah. You're solid, and then she'll like whoosh through the shadowy figure. Like, why are they different? Like, I don't understand.
Raven will put her hand on her hips like, the fuck? Like, what do you, in response to you whooshing mm-hmm. your hand through the silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, no vocalizations come mm-hmm. from the figure. You will respond to your question with, well, sometimes it takes a little time to really get the groundwork laid. Don't worry, she'll fit in just fine.
Well, what about me?
She gestures down at herself. We fit in just fine, too.
When did we lay the groundwork?
Oh, that's a very complicated question. I don't know if we know that.
Missy can't figure it out. still confused. And since Missy's been in this premonition, no. She did hear Terrence and Art talk about the Bahari, right?
There's a lot of things that happened that night.
I know. A lot of things happened that night. So I think she'll kind of reflect on the events of the evening, and now that she's in this, you know, lit up daylight, grassy hill world, she'll look at herself and lean
yourself
in and ask.
Yourself is mirroring your body posture.
Mm-hmm. And kind of lean in to, like, you know, whisper to each other and say, is this what it means to be Bahari?
That's a good question. I think that's something we're still figuring out. But there's
who?
We. And she.
Me looked, and you?
She, yeah. What, you did you think we were different people?
No, I talk to myself a lot. This is not new.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know.
I just want to make sure, because sometimes I'm confused, so I assume sometimes you are confused.
I'm always confused. I live in a state of confusion.
Ooh, sister, you telling me.
Exactly. But, and the other figures that are around, one of them was the prince, right?
Yes.
Okay. And she'll kind of point over to the prince and go, well, wouldn't the prince know?
I mean, she is kind of in charge, right?
Well, haven't you asked her? You're here with her.
I mean, haven't you asked her? I'm you.
But you've been here longer. Why haven't you asked?
I don't have a good answer for you. For me. Us. She's distracted by this. I'm trying to figure it out. I tell you what, let's go
do everything. Yes, let's go ask her. So arm in arm we go.
And off you go. The prince is over there. She is tending a small garden. This one is normal. It's just it is a little flower bed that has a couple of different types of, nothing truly exotic in it, but, you know, still looks nice. It's got a little, single-handed little shears have a specific name for pruning shears?
Yeah, pruning shears.
She has a small set of pruning shears and is wearing gardening gloves, little sun hat, and not quite an apron, but I want to call it a tool belt, but not to that degree. Like, it's not as thick or as heavy, but it's like a belt with some pockets that you can put different things in. She's just humming a little song to herself as you guys approach.
As I, we, us get closer. She'll kind of do what she normally does whenever she greets the prince. And like whatever, if it's a bow or a, you know, whatever honorific.
This isn't your weird mindscape.
Yeah, that's true. So I guess she will walk up and she'll kind of stand where she knows the prince can see her. Either in the periphery or in front of her, but not in the garden, just more, not standing on any of the plants or anything, not to be disrespectful. And kind of do a little bow and say, my prince.
She notices your shadow as it approaches, and it casts a very cinematic look over her little bed of flowers. And after she finishes with the flower that she is currently pruning some leaves off of that are, you know, a little not perfect. She'll sit back on her heels, wipe the sweat from her brow, and give you a pleasant smile and give you her undivided attention. What can I help you with, Missy?
Missy will just do a pleasant smile and say, I have a question about this place.
We? And she looks, and your older self is not.
Of course. Me. I have a question about this place. Sorry, I misspoke. Is this what it means to be Bahari?
She tilts her head, puts her tools down, and pats the grass next to her for you to sit.
She'll sit.
As you sit, you are sitting looking over the entirety of this little grassy area. In the transition from standing to sitting, it's one of those cinematic things where the camera follows you, and as it pans, you are now looking out over everyone, even though that's not exactly how the geometry of this place worked beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And she will ask you, what do you think that this place means?
Well, and she'll kind of point to the garden that's around them and say, well, I mean, obviously it's a place of, you know, creation, birth, renewal, growth. But then she'll point over to that grave and say, but it's also a place of suffering and horror.
She gives small nods, as you mentioned, all of the positive things, the renewal, etc. And when you point towards the grave where there is Samuel Cartwright's body, or at least, you know, a representation of it, semantics, she'll give a solemn nod and say, yes, he did cause a lot of suffering, but now he doesn't anymore.
No, he's the only one suffering now. So suffering's still happening here, right?
Did you ask him if he's suffering?
Or I can just look at him and see he's suffering.
No, that's not entirely true.
How so? He's got a... The representation in the grave has the apple in his mouth, but not the tree growing out of him.
Right. He's just was slowly covered with dirt and...
Yeah. Okay. Missy will say, well, I mean, I've seen him before, and he's been driven mad. He's trapped. He's got a fucking tree growing out of him. I mean, he's suffering. He's alive, but can't do anything. He can't escape it. That's suffering. He's here. He's suffering.
Is he here? Or is it just his shell that is his husk present?
No, because there's no tree coming out of him. So yeah, it's my, you know, yeah, my mental projection of him. But I don't understand. I mean, this isn't. And she'll kind of gesture around to the sunshine and the grass, like, this place isn't as happy as it looks.
Who looks unhappy? She looks genuinely concerned that somebody could be in a state of unhappiness.
And she'll point over to Cartwright. Him.
He's not there. She stumbles for to find those words for a second, as if the things that she is trying to explain are clearly just make sense, and it's strange that you don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
The man that was known as Samuel Cartwright, my sire, is not in there.
No, you put him in a vault under a mall.
She
why?
Kind of shrugs off to the side, like, I mean, I, yeah, sure. It's a little more complicated than that, but she does not disagree with the fact that that is what has happened.
But why do that? Why go through all that trouble? Why not just stake him or, you know, leave him out in the sun? Like, why do all of this?
Maybe she gets a thoughtful look for a second and reaches beside herself and picks up a second pair of pruning shears and hands them to you. And maybe it would make more sense if you helped me with something.
Looks around and looks down at her hand with the shears and like, doesn't look like I'm going anywhere. So sure, I'll help you out.
And then she turns, the camera spins, and then the two of you are sat in front of an untamed mess of weeds and flowers, and just, it looks like a garden that somebody has not properly tended to in years. And she motions to some of the weeds and insinuates that she needs your help to clean it up.
Okay. I mean, you know, a lawnmower would take it down a lot faster than these little shears.
She points with her shears towards an area where there is some weeds and some flowers that are growing together, where the weeds are a little higher than the good flowers that are there. Well, you see, and she begins to cut at the weeds and pull them out with a little shovel and the shears. A lawnmower would just non-discriminately cut all of these. We don't want that.
But won't the flowers just regrow?
Wouldn't the weeds?
Fair point. And she'll start clipping weeds, but every time she goes to do one, she'll like look at the prints to see, like, make sure it's not a flower. Okay. and clip.
Yeah.
But eventually she gets into it and she knows what's flower, what's weed, and she begins to assist in tending this garden.
Give me looking at skills. Give me a strength and athletics roll. Hunger doesn't really matter in this case because we're in wacky dreamland.
Ooh.
100% success rate, 4 successes. As you are gardening here, and as some time will pass with the prince correcting you, answering your questions about the gardening process, pointing out what is plant, what is weed, you will come across a stubborn weed that's giving you a little trouble. So you put down your shears, you put down your little shovel, and get both hands on it, and you give it a pull. And as you pull, there is what starts off as a bulb at the bottom of it that you pull a little bit harder because you got 4 successes, so it's no struggle for you. That bulb turns out to be the shrunken head of a man. And as you continue to pull, it is a small, let's say, 8-inch or so version of Samuel Cartwright.
So look at it. Does it look like it's alive, or its eyes are open?
Its eyes are closed. It is dried out as though all of the moisture has been sapped from it. It is, I believe, desiccated is the correct word. It does not look healthy at all. It does not look like the man that you saw, but it is clearly a weed.
She'll hold it towards the prince.
She will point with the shears towards the stalk that's coming out of the head. Looks like a weed to me.
I see he'll look a little confused and say, oh, okay. All right, so things mean other things here. I get that. All right. All right, because, you know, the snake I saw, you know, we found that. So, things correlate. So, are you saying that Cartwright had to go and now we're removing any remaining presence he has?
She points at the pile of weeds in between that you have been slowly removing from this section of garden. Well, that one looks similar to this one. She'll hold up another weed. But these, and she'll hold up two or three other ones. These don't look anything like that, so they're different kinds of weeds.
What kind of weed are they?
I don't know all of their names. I just know that they are poisoning or strangling the garden and are preventing flowers from growing.
What do the flowers' roots look like?
Do you want to pull one up?
Can I?
If you want.
Okay, she'll pull one.
What is something that... you know what? No, I know what the perfect thing for this... as you pull this one up, it is similar to how the bulb and the weed part of the other one was. Choose Calvin, Keith, or Kendra.
Keith.
Okay. As you pull it up, there is the face of Keith that comes at the bulb portion of it. It doesn't look dried out or desiccated like the head of Cartwright did, but it does look like he is sleeping. It is a much smaller version of him.
And she'll try to replant it as best she can. To put it back in. It's Keith. Yeah. I gotta make sure it lives. So, okay.
Did you want to do this surreptitiously or just, you know, whatever? Did you want to do this where the prince couldn't see or?
Oh, yeah. No, it's in front. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. She just looks over you, gives you a little side eye and a little smile, and goes back to pulling weeds.
He goes back to pull weeds too.
After a minute or two, the prince will be, so I see you're starting to get it.
Maybe? It would be nice to know more, and not from somebody who likes to speak in riddles. So maybe the other you could help, because this you is, I don't know, a little confusing. But, I mean, I get we have to, you know, clear the weeds to choke out the, before they choke out the flowers, and I don't know what makes a person a weed and what makes a person a flower, but apparently, I guess maybe the bad ones are the weeds and the ones with promise are the flowers. But aren't there some weeds that do have flowers?
There was a very popular weed. You're familiar with dandelions, or what do they call them when they sprout the puffballs?
I don't know. I always still call them dandelions.
Yeah, okay, they are just dandelions. They don't have a... when I was young, we would play a little game with... And she reaches over and she pulls out a dandelion, one that's got a nice full round head of seeds on it, where we would take these and... Well, we would... And then she blows on it and the seeds go everywhere. It's a magical moment as there's a shot from above as the seeds fly up and swirl around. We would make a wish, and then we would blow, and then the seeds would carry our wish far and wide. So we used to believe. We were young. It was just before the... But it's still a weed.
So even though somebody might look friendly or look like a flower, inside, they're really just... At their core, they're really just... A weed.
And sometimes when we're young and we don't know any better, we think that weeds can carry our wishes to whoever may be listening. Like I said, I was young and foolish.
You thought it carried wishes, but all it did was carry to choke out more flowers.
She just gives you a smile.
Okay. Then maybe you'll know, and she'll indicate over to the shadowy figures and Raven and say, well, why are some people here like that, and some people here, you know, like you and I? Why is there this difference?
Sometimes flowers take time to bloom. They require careful attention, the proper water, the proper sunlight, good minerals, good soil, a good foundation can be very important when you're trying to cultivate a garden.
Now Missy is a little... She's given a hard side eye.
The prince pays your side eye no mind, and just continues on with what she's doing.
Missy will continue as well. But inside... further inside her head.
we're inceptioning real hard here.
I think things are clicking in there. Oh, she's solid because she's been cultivated and she's been working for the prince over, you know, a significant length of time. And I think Missy's going to say, or think that was the cultivation part.
You hear
that the prince was doing that.
You hear your more adult voice chime in, say, I mean, that's as good a theory as I've got.
Is she there, or is she, it's just the voice?
When you look around, you see her. She's right there, right next to you. There is a third set of gardening tools. She has got her own little squishy knee pad that she's kneeling on, and her own little sun hat.
Miss is just going to give her a dirty look. Oh, now you just show up. Back there, you made me look like a fool, but now you show up.
What do you mean? I was here the whole time.
You're such a liar.
How are we liars? How do we lie to ourselves?
Believe me, I know we lie to ourselves and we lie to everyone else. Constantly have to lie. I'm surprised we're a flower. Surprised we weren't deemed a weed, to be honest.
She turns her head to look at you, and there is a little flower, a little lily that is stuck behind her ear. She's like, you know what? You're not wrong. Kind of nice to be a flower. She turns her head back to go back to what she was doing.
I mean, she thinks about this, you know, I'm right. It is nice to be a flower. I don't want to be weeds, you know, look good. And I don't want to be some shadowy figure, so I'm happy I'm here. I'm not sure why there has to be a copy of me here, but whatever.
I'm not a copy, I'm you. She rolls her eyes in a way that you have done to so many people.
So it isn't bad to be a flower. I don't want to be a weed. And then she'll look at the prince. How do we tell the flowers from the weeds? How do we tell the weeds that are inside people and the people who have flowers?
Practice, mostly. It's taken me many years to get, and she motions to the garden around her, to get the garden into this state. It was an awful mess when I first started. Thankfully, and she motions the other direction to where there's a couple of the other people that you have seen here that are doing some of their own gardening. Some of them are chatting, some of them are still relaxing. Thankfully, I've gotten a lot of help over the years. But don't worry, it's a big job. There's always room for another set of hands that are ready and willing to work.
And so look between the prince and over to herself and look at the garden and everything around. And I think she'll start to feel calmer. Like, I think she'll start to appreciate that this is better than where she has to be or where she's been in life. This isn't bad. And if she had to be stuck here in her head, this is a great place to be stuck. You got the sunshine, which she hasn't seen in forever. So I think she'll start to feel comfortable and really get into doing the gardening.
In that case, you will find yourself back in the basement where we left you at the previous recording, but your hands are a little sore, as though you've been doing a lot of repetitive tasks with them. A lot of clipping with shears, a lot of digging in the dirt. Just that momentary, like, open and close them a couple times to work it out.
She'll take a deep breath and start looking around her to see if Terrence and Art are still around, or did they just leave her down here? Are they still in the room doing whatever it is they're doing?
I don't remember where we left them.
We were all leaving, and I took the first step out, and that's when it hit me, the premonition. So I don't know where they are. And I know they're not here, so it's fine.
I feel like we just, as Missy flexes to get the cramping out of her hands, I think we just cut off there, okay. As she has a large number of things to think about.
Yeah, definitely. But she's a little sad.
It is the 29th of November. Where does the time go? We're going to explore Missy's headcanon tonight.
Plenty going on up there.
Yeah. It can be very crowded sometimes. Which is something I should have totally brought in when you were doing all of these premonitions for years before. Oh, fuck my hindsight. All right, cool. Okay.
And since Missy's been in this premonition, no. She did hear Terrence and Art talk about the Bahari, right? I think before the premonition, they were in the room talking. Or no?
We're going back a bit of time, and it's been a...
Yeah, I know. Well, Oz is here listening. Does he remember?
He does, and the answer is yes.
Okay. Thank you.
There's a lot of things that happened that night.
This Vampire the Masquerade Chronicle is a non-official, fan-created work by the Without a Net podcast. Portions of the materials used in this actual play are the copyrights and trademarks of Paradox Interactive AB and are used with their permission. All rights are reserved. For any further information in those regards, or maybe upcoming releases, you can find them at worldofdarkness.com.